alumni prayer focus this morning is for Howard Wild, Jr., who sat just where you're sitting today in a chapel service a number of years ago. He's a graduate of 47, but he's still going strong. He lives in Paradise, California, and he's involved as a chaplain in the fire department, the police department, a rest home ministry, and also a hospital chaplain. So he's a busy guy, and I'd like to have you join me in praying for he and his wife this morning. Would you just raise your hands towards me and towards this picture of them, and let's believe God to visit them today as a response of our prayers. Would you do that, Father? We thank you for this servant of yours and his dedicated wife. And they're many miles from here, but that means nothing in your spirit and in your kingdom. And so we call them before you today, and in all of his areas of influence, with the police department and the hospitals and the rest home and the fire department, use him mightily, I pray, for your glory and for your honor. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was asked some time ago by President Denbo to put together alumni prayer teams to pray in this place on Wednesday mornings from 8:30 to 9:30 every week. And that's been a joy to do it. Some of those who have been working with me are seated here today. And so from 8:30 to 9:30 every Wednesday, and I understand the president speaks on most Wednesdays. We've been praying for him. But a prayer list is provided for us, and we go carefully down that list. But I wanted to share with you, just before we pray for God's continued blessing in the chapel this morning, what I've sensed personally. I've been in most of these prayer times, and as we've gathered and prayed here in the altar area, God's directed us to pray over every seat in this place, back row of the balcony all the way down to the front, and praying over the instruments up here and the musicians who will be playing them, and praying for what happens here at the altar, and praying for every door that enters this place. And as we've done that, I've sensed in my spirit what I believe is coming from God's spirit, and that is he wants this to be holy ground. A lot of things happening in your life in the classroom and in the dorms and even on the jobs for those of you that are working part-time. But God wants this to be very special and very unique, and the word of the Lord to come forth with power and worship to lift your hearts. And so I thought I'd mention that to you as someone who has the privilege of coming in here and just sensing the Spirit of God saying, yes, I want to do it and I'm going to do it as hearts reach out to me. Would you just lift your heart with me and let's say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love over this student body and for the purpose of your heart during this school year to pour out of your spirit, to reach down and touch each individual student. You've placed them here. You're building understanding into their hearts. You've got a call that's becoming clearer and clearer. And we thank you that you're going to minister to them in every part of campus life here at CBC. But particularly and uniquely, you want this to be sacred ground and holy ground where they hear the word of the Lord and their hearts are lifted in worship and they gather around these altars to humble themselves and say, yes, Lord, send me. And so we thank you for that. And we continue to believe you for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit during the continuing of this school year. Now we pray a special blessing upon Pastor Brad as he comes to minister the word of life today. We thank you for him and the great work that he is pastoring. And we give you praise now for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
We would like to invite Pastor and Mrs. Brad Rosenberg to the platform, please, for a very special presentation. They are the pastors of Tri-County Assembly in the Cincinnati area, the north part of the Cincinnati area, and it is a distinct pleasure to have Brad and Angie here with us today. Let me read this to you. Whereas Reverend Brad Rosenberg served with distinction as a student while pursuing his studies at Central Bible College. He was the voice of the Spartans. Whereas he has continued to diligently pursue the call of God upon his life since graduation from Central Bible College in 1993. And whereas he has skillfully served the Assemblies of God Fellowship in pastoral roles for 14 years. And whereas he has faithfully served Central Bible College as a member of the Alumni Board of Directors during his term of service. And whereas he has earned the respect of ministerial colleagues through his anointed ministry and involvement in denominational activities. And whereas he has maintained a life of integrity before God and men, both publicly and privately, exemplifying the spirit of a true servant at all times. Therefore, be it resolved that Reverend Brad Rosenberg be named recipient of the 2007 Distinguished Young Leader Award, presented by the Central Bible College Alumni Association in recognition of the faithful ministry of an alumnus, and be it further resolved that on this occasion, November 2nd, 2007, morning chapel of CBC, his outstanding leadership be appropriately recognized. I want you to recognize with me this morning, Brad Rosenberg.
Thank you, Dr. Rosenberg. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, well, okay. George Westlake is coming to add a little bit to the introduction.
It's an honor to be able to introduce my friend this morning. Just to give you a little bit clearer picture of Brad Rosenberg, the person, he's the president of the Alumni Association, and I'm the vice president, and the job description he gave me is as such. Write a report on being an armor bearer in 2007. Always walk several feet behind me. If I ever say, what do you think of my idea? Say, that's a great idea, Mr. President. I mean, Brad. Don't ever mention Cincinnati professional sports unless I mention it first. As the vice president, I expect you to take certain friends on hunting expeditions and accidentally shoot them. It's a pretty short list at this point. As a display of my personal power, if I should ever hit you even playfully on the arm, please fall down immediately. Actually, Brad is not like that at all, right? Brad is a wonderful friend, one of my best friends in the world. And just a great guy. I love Brad Rosenberg. I love Brad Rosenberg, and you will too. He's a phenomenal pastor, a great man. He's asked me to cry while I do this. I don't know what that's about, but. I'm just trying to honor all of his requests. He's a great man. He's a great pastor. He pastors one of the great churches in the denomination. And everybody loves Brad. When I first met Brad, I thought, now, if this guy's for real, I really like this guy. And I can tell you he's for real. So welcome with me today, Brad Rosenberg.
Thanks. Oh, George, good night. I am vertically challenged and nutritionally enhanced, so this pulpit's not helping me out today. Since leaving school, I've been healed of anorexia.
You guys did it yesterday, so I'm going to do it today. I have a video announcement, and it is specifically for the Spartan basketball team and Coach Hansen. So if you guys will turn your attention to the screen, I'm excited about tonight. I'm probably more excited about tonight than anybody else in this room because I'm a Spartan fan. And God willing, I won't get arrested at the game tonight, but it's going to be good. So turn your attention towards the screen, and then I'll teach after that. Tonight is your first game, and I got a hold of Lynn Hansen, got all of your jersey sizes, had a guy on my staff recreate the CBC logo because I didn't want copyright infringements, so I got brand new shooting jerseys, warm-ups for everybody, with 212 degrees on the back. One extra degree tonight, guys, take out St. Louis Christian, you hear me? One more piece of business. Who here lives in Horton Ground, room 2? Do you really? Okay, come here. Does anybody, you have a roommate? Where is he? Come on down, guys. A long time ago, an ugly old carpet ago, and a toilet that occasionally flushed, Mark Batterson and I lived as roommates in room 2 on Horton Ground. So I want you guys to have 2 gift cards to Starbucks. Go out and have a drink on me. All right? It is so fun to be back at CBC, and I have a lot of people to thank this morning. Of course, the president, the administration, the board, the alumni board. I need to say a special thank you to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Faith and Daryl Wooten, who are here with their kids to be here and make this a special day for us. One of my assistant pastors came out, and his wife, and Drew and Jana, and then my mom and dad who are here. I'm just so thankful. And then to my lovely wife, Angie, and my 3 beautiful kids, Brady, Mallory, and Preston. Mallory doesn't think I'm that great because she's reading a Dora Explorer book. So, I know you're thinking, can I get one? I see how you are. And one final announcement. My internships are way better than Nick Poole's. So if you want to come to... if you want to come to Cincinnati, you just talk to me after. We'll make it happen. As I was thinking about this special day today, I was asking myself, when I was a student here, when I was sitting here, what's the one thing I needed someone to tell me? What's the one thing that could be a takeaway that I just need to hold on to more than anything else? And for me, that one thing is there's going to be lots of books, there's going to be lots of conferences, there's going to be lots of suggestions from lots of people, but your takeaway today needs to be, more than anything else, listen to God. Listen to God. We may have enhanced the ears a tad. This morning I want to talk to you about the importance of listening to God. I love the verse in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 that says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. How great would that be for everyone to be able to put our name in that sentence and say, Mark did everything just as God commanded him. Darwin did everything just as God commanded him. You want to have a fulfilling ministry? You want to have a great journey with the Lord? Listen to God's voice. Listen to God's voice. It doesn't mean you won't have struggles. It doesn't mean you won't hit bumps in the road. It doesn't mean that there won't be frustrating seasons of ministry. But when you listen to the voice of God, He'll do incredible miracles in your life. Some of you say, well, I don't know that I've ever heard the voice of God. And there are lots of people who have launched out in their own flesh and made, in my opinion, huge mistakes. Several years ago, my wife and I were youth pastors in Washington, D.C., and a good friend of mine who was a youth pastor was on vacation in Kentucky, and there was a message in tongues. The interpretation was, Yea, I say unto thee, just as I told my servant John Wesley, at least I think it was John Wesley. There are times when we miss it. How many of you know that happens? But it doesn't negate the fact that God is speaking to us. I believe that God's speaking to us all the time. Most of the time, the issue is whether we're listening or not. I believe God's speaking all the time. And if you're not of the experience that you feel you've really heard Him, God speaks to us all the time through His Word. All the time. My dad and I had the privilege of being in Nairobi, Kenya in May on a missions trip. And we were talking to some of the Africans, the locals there, and they were talking about the word obedience. And one of the definitions of obedience in their area of Africa was all ears. All ears. The word that they used for obedience was all ears. As students and as those who are venturing out to do God's will, to do God's work, Our goal should be for all of us to be all ears, listening to God. Listening to God. Well, if we're supposed to be listening to Him, what is He saying to us? Well, if you're taking notes this morning, or if you'd like to, you don't have to, but if you want to, when I was at the seminary with Charles Crabtree, he said, the only sermons that shouldn't be preached twice are the ones that shouldn't have been preached once. So you can take this one and throw it away or use it. I don't care. What is God saying to us? Number one, God says, get along. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's a good chance that many of you, even at the start of your ministry, will end up on multiple staff church situations. And however you end up getting there doesn't mean you have the time to do the research on every other staff member. And it's going to be a challenge for you to get along with every one of them. Learn this now. While you are here, do everything you can to develop your people skills and your desire to get along with other people. Why? Because God says get along. Some of the biggest struggles in your ministry will not be the opposition you face out there. It'll be the person in the office next to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's good news. How many of you ever heard of T.L. Osborne? T.L. Osborne used to say the ministry would be great if you didn't have to deal with people. Sometimes that's how it feels. Teddy Roosevelt said, I will hire a man with the ability to get along with people more than any other ability. You can teach him the rest. There are going to be challenges that you're going to face as soon as you're thrown into a ministry position. And just as God says straight from His Word, I encourage you this morning, get along. Learn how to get along and work with one another. Number two, God says, care for people in need. God's speaking this all the time through His Word. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 36 and 40, it says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. A few years ago, we started a ministry at our church to feed the needy people of our community. We felt that taking care of the poor and the needy is something that would make God smile. So we focused a tremendous amount of effort, which initially started as a really dysfunctional ministry. And I talked to the lady in our church who's running that ministry, and she said, as of last month, we are now feeding over 1,000 people a month in our community through the Gyra House. God says, care for people in need. Here's the big idea. Caring is not just a way of feeling. It's a way of behaving. Participate. Get involved. Use your hands. Use your feet. Serve those around you. Care for people in need. Why? Because that's close to the heart of God. And secondly, because God says so. Number three. God says, love people who don't like you. You say, well, I didn't get up to hear that this morning. Love people who don't like you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How many of you ever bump into a verse in the Bible and you go, man, I hate that one? You're like, man, that one stinks. God says, love people who don't like you. About 5 years ago, I was voted in as the lead pastor at Tri-County back in Cincinnati. And in the midst of the 2 weeks or whatever, when they put the name before the congregation, they were talking and people could ask questions and so on. So it wasn't like they didn't know what they were getting into. I was executive pastor for 3 years and spoke every other Sunday. So you couldn't fire up your best sermon and go in for a vote. You know what I'm saying? So in the midst of this election thing, there's a guy who just hates my guts. and he starts a campaign against me. Now, when you're trying to be elected into a church, a guy doing a campaign against you is not, you know, not helping you out. Then he wanted to have a meeting with me. So, as wise as I am and scared as I was, I said, "Dad, I want you in that meeting with me." And so he sat down at the table in my office, and he's sitting across from me, and Dad's down at the end. And he looks at me and says, "I can't learn anything from you." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way." Everything he attacked me with, I apologized and just took it on the chin. He said, "You're not old enough. You've not been through the experiences I've been through. You're not a parent." And he just rattled off all these things. And he said, "And you're only 30 years old." Which at that point, my dad chimed in and said, "Well," he said, I almost said the name. "I better not do this. This is being recorded." He said, "Well, I'm sorry you feel that way." He said, "Apparently you've forgotten that the Holy Spirit's the same age in Brad as he is in me." And under my breath, I went, "Yes." Wish I would have thought of that one. Guy ended up leaving the church, and I said, "Yes," again. And bounced around to a couple other churches. Then word got back to me from other people in our church that this guy had gotten sick and been placed in the hospital. And I said, "No, I didn't." Some of you were with me. And I was driving around town, and the Holy Spirit kind of put the brakes on my car while I'm driving, and he said, "I want you to go to the hospital and pray for him." And I said, "I don't even like him." And he said, "But I love him." And I said, "I'm on my way." And I pulled my car over to the hospital, walked in his room. He's got IVs all over and oxygen, and leans up in his bed and says to me, "What are you doing here?" And I wanted to say, "To cut your oxygen off." I didn't. I stayed sanctified. And I said, come on now. And I said, "I'm here to pray for you." And he just put his head back on the pillow. I walked up and held his hand and prayed for him. A few months later, he had a stroke, was back in the hospital again. Both of these other pastors and other churches never came to see him one time. His wife told me that I'm the only person who came to see him while he was in the hospital. God says, love people who don't like you. If you learn that now, you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache. Listen to God's voice. God says, love people who don't like you. Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. Next. God says, number four, help each other. God says, help each other. When you go into a ministry position, please, I'm asking you, don't view your ministry on that staff as an island separate from the church. You be the other staff people's biggest fans. You pat them on the back. When they're having an event or an outreach, you go work there and support them. Help each other. I think the reason I chose this picture is my little boy Brady. Whenever I'm doing something at the house, and I'm not a fix-it man. Usually Angie repairs everything broken in our house, but whenever I'm working on something, my five-year-old little boy walks up to me and says, "Dad, can I help?" And I thought about this, and the question that came to mind is, at what point do we stop saying, "Hey, can I help?" Why does that happen? Why does that have to change? Why can't, for the rest of our ministries, a regular sentence in our vocabulary is, "Hey, can I help?" Because God says, help each other. Help each other. Pat each other on the back. Support one another. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens. Charles Osgood told the story of two ladies who lived in a convalescent center. Each had suffered an incapacitating stroke. Margaret's stroke left her left side restricted, while Ruth's stroke damaged her right side. Both of these ladies were accomplished pianists, but had given up hope of ever playing again. The director of the center sat them down at the piano and encouraged them to play solo pieces together. They did, and the beautiful friendship developed. What a picture it was for the church to work together. Why, she played everything on the left side of the keyboard, and her friend played everything on the right. Let's help each other. Let's work together. Let's make a team effort in everything we're doing. Number 5, God says, be good to everybody. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to what? To all people. I was praying one morning when I was a youth pastor in Baltimore. And we had a 26-mile commute to our church because the East Coast is so expensive. We had to live 26 miles from our church just to afford a place to live. But it was a great time to pray. And as I was praying, the Lord kind of prompted me. Oh, he really didn't prompt me. He was speaking to me crystal clear. And there was a guy on the staff where I was that worked two offices down from me who had 5 boys. And the Lord spoke to my heart in a time of prayer, and he said, I want you to go down to Dave's office today and give him a $50 bill and tell him to take his boys out for pizza tonight. And I thought, man, that's kind of weird. Does God tell people to tell other people to go get pizza? I don't know. And so whenever I think I'm off the boat or have missed it, I talked to my wife. And so I said, Ange, I was praying this morning. This is what I felt. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I feel that too. And I think you should tell them to go to Chuck E. Cheese. And I was like, what? I mean, I thought I had missed it just with the pizza. Then she chimes in with Chuck E. Cheese. And I'm like, you know, God's big and all, but he doesn't know about Chuck E. Cheese. So I wrestle with this all day long. It's now like 5 minutes till 5. I've not gone to this guy's office. I'm frustrated. I'm embarrassed. We're staff pastors together. Our salaries are probably really close. And so I didn't want to act like he was poor and I needed it. It was just awkward. And finally I was like, the Lord was saying, go down there and talk to him. So I walked down to his office, and I was praying that he had already left early and was gone. Knocked on his door. He said, yep. I said, hey, Dave, can I see you for a minute? He goes, sure. So he comes around his desk and kind of leans back on the back of it, and he's sitting there. And I said, hey, listen, you might think this is weird. You know, I'm trying to throw all the stuff out there so I don't look like an idiot. And I said, I was praying this morning, and I felt like, I was supposed to give you $50, and I don't know, maybe you could take the boys out for pizza or something. And then, at the crucial moment, I totally chunked Angie under the bus and said, and Angie thought maybe you could go to Chuck E. Cheese. Right? Serious as a heart attack. This is one of the most pivotal points in my ministry. He leans back on his desk and his head just dips down. He's looking at the ground. And he said, Brad, I can't believe this. He said, today is Joey's birthday, my 10-year-old son. And before I left work this morning, he said, Dad, is there any way we could go to Chuck E. Cheese tonight? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That $50 wasn't anything. I would have paid $1,000 for that experience. To know that God cares so intimately
about the little tiniest detail of a 10-year-old little boy who said, "Dad, can we go to Chuck E. Cheese tonight?" God says, be good to everybody. When you feel a prompting and God saying bless them or help them and you're going, "I don't have the 50 bucks right now," you better do it, because a miracle is about to happen in your life. John Wesley put it the best. Do all the good you can in all the ways you can to all the souls you can in every place you can at all the times you can with all the zeal you can as long as you ever can. Number six, respect those in authority over you. God says respect those in authority over you. Romans 13:1 says everyone must submit to governing authorities. For those of you who think you're going to be a youth pastor or what God's called you into something and you'll have a senior pastor as a boss and you're going, "Man, I can't wait till I'm a lead pastor because then no one's your boss." I have a harsh reality for you. When you become the senior pastor, everybody's your boss. You with me, James? There will never be a time in your life when someone isn't in a position of authority over you. And if you ever get to a place where that isn't happening, you better run for your life. Because if you don't have accountability, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. God says, respect those who are in positions of authority over you. Number seven. What else does God say? God says, speak kind words. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I say it before and I'll say it again. Be other people's biggest fans. Pat everybody on the back. Cheer up everyone you meet. Your goal in life should be, after every conversation with another individual, pray to God they walk away feeling better about themselves. If we live that way, you will be a magnet to people because they are dying to feel loved and accepted and appreciated. God says, speak kind words to people. My mom used to pray with me every night when I'd go to bed and I'd talk about people who didn't like me or whatever, and she'd say, Brad, kill them with kindness. Just love them. Speak words of encouragement. Pat them on the back. Help them out. Kind words can go a long way. Number eight, God says, love like I do. Love like I do. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, we all know the love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When you're placed in a tough situation, when you're having a relational conflict, God says, love like I do. Love like I do. Love and kindness are never wasted. They always make a difference. They bless the one who receives them, and they bless you as the giver. Number nine, God says, don't look down on people. Let me try that again. God says, don't look down on people. James 2:1 says, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? Love everybody. When I was on staff in Baltimore, once a month, every Tuesday night, our staff would get on a bus and we'd drive up to Brooklyn and we'd go to the Tuesday night prayer meeting at Brooklyn Tab. Incredible experience. If you ever get the chance to go to a prayer meeting at the Brooklyn Tab, do everything you can to be there. It's an incredible, couple thousand people come to prayer meeting. No music, no anything. 2,000 people jam in that place for a prayer meeting. So there one night, and Pastor Cimbala told a story. He talked about when he was standing in his church and he was preaching, and because of the location in Brooklyn, occasionally a drunk or a bum or some street person would wander in. And he was trying to communicate this point, and this person was interrupting, and Jim has a huge heart, and he loves people, but he's also driven, and he was on track for what he was trying to accomplish, and he was just frustrated by it. This guy was making a fuss, and then he decided to step out into the aisle and start walking towards the stage. So Jim thought, well, I better go down there and address him in the aisle before he actually gets up on stage. So Pastor Cimbala walks down, and he said every step he took closer to the man, he said the guy just reeked of urine. He said it was one of the most awful smells that he'd ever smelled. He says as he took steps closer, it just reeked, almost where you feel like you're going to throw up. And then he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, hug this man. And he said as he got closer, Jim stopped and wrapped his arms around him. And he said at the moment that he embraced him with both arms around him, he said the most beautiful smell of perfume he's ever smelled just happened. Why? Because God tells us, don't look down on people. God loves him as much as he loves any other person in this room. And if we can understand before we leave this place and find ourselves in positions and places of ministry, if we understand that God every day is speaking to us, don't look down on people, we will start to develop a heart like Christ. We'll start to see people through the eyes of Jesus, and we'll start to treat people differently. Number 10, the last one. God says, it's not about me. I'm a little embarrassed today, because in some ways I feel like today was about me, and that's not how I roll. Ministry is about being behind the scenes. Ministry is about phone calls late at night when you go to the emergency room. Ministry is about helping people who their marriage is on the rocks and they want to meet somewhere other than church so nobody sees them because they're so embarrassed about what's happened. Ministry is about appointments and meetings that other people will never see and never know about. Ministry is about hugging parents who just found out their kid has blown their mind on drugs. Ministry is about loving people when they least expect it and least deserve it. And you don't get the pats on the back then. And none of the board members see you doing that. And the people in the congregation don't say, thank you, Pastor, for being there at 3 a.m. Why? Because God tells us right up front, it's not about me. If you can hold on to that, if you can discover that, and if you can apply that to your life, you won't have unmet expectations, and you won't get hurt in the ministry. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. It's not about me. It's about team effort. In the 2004 Athens Olympics, the USA experienced its worst team defeat in basketball history. First, that world powerhouse, Puerto Rico, cut us down 92-73. Next, it was Lithuania, who probably had to reduce the size of its military in order to even field a team. They beat us 94-90. And finally, Argentina mopped us up at the end 89-81 and knocked the USA out of the medal competition. We had some real stars on that team. Maybe you've heard of them. LeBron James, Allen Iverson, just to name a couple. But the lesson was obvious to anyone who was willing to pay attention. A team that has played together for several years can beat a pickup squad of the most talented young smart alecks in the NBA. Students, we are faced with a simple fact. The team that plays together takes home the gold. Let me leave you with a final word that's a little bit separate from my message, but I think needs to be shared this morning. A few months ago, I was in a meeting with some other pastors with H.B. London. If you don't know who H.B. London is, please find his resources, start reading, and get connected with his ministry. H.B. London was speaking to us, and it was a unique opportunity for me because I got to hear him speak and sit next to my dad at the same time. He told a story out of the end of his teaching at Minister's Institute about priorities. I'm saying this to say this. God says, keep your family first above your ministry. H.B. told this long story about how his dad never attended any of his games. He played all sports all through elementary, junior high, and high school. He said his dad never showed up to any of those. He said he came to one game when he was 16, and he thought his dad was going to stay, but he actually came to the game to meet another person from the church, and then both of them left the field. He said, and then when he was in high school, his dad had an affair on his mother with another woman, and he had lost all respect for his father. A great man who had done incredible things in his life, had been the president of a university, had been accomplished in ministry in ways probably most of us will never see. And he said, and then he received the news at the end of his life that his dad was in a nursing home and they were kind of keeping an eye on him. And H.B. said he would drive there and talk to his dad for hours just to hear his dad say, I'm proud of you and I love you. H.B. at this point had written several books, and not one time had his dad commented, that's a great book, or I'm proud of you for publishing. Never heard it. He said after the third or fourth time of spending an extended amount of time at the nursing home with him and never hearing that affirmation from his father, his wife looked at him and said, why do you keep torturing yourself? Why do you put yourself in that position where you know you're never going to hear the affirmation and you're never going to hear him say, I love you? And he said, because I want to hear it so bad. He said it didn't happen. He said he was speaking actually here in Branson, received a phone call, and they said, doesn't look like your dad's going to survive. You need to come back. He flew back to be there, was around his bed when he passed away. He said, and then he had to start making the funeral arrangements. They did that, and he said, Billy Graham, some of the greatest people in ministry and the evangelical world came to his funeral. Everybody had all these great things to say about his dad. And he said he was just frustrated and hurt. He was tired. He said 6 months later, he was speaking in Oklahoma City. Those of you who've been a part of a funeral or lost a loved one know that you can't place the tombstone until the ground is settled and several months has gone by. So it was 6 months later in Oklahoma City he was speaking, and it was near where his father was going to be buried, and he said, I need to drive out to the cemetery. He said he went out to the cemetery and he knelt down next to the plot. He said, Dad, how come you couldn't have been to my games? How come you couldn't have told me you loved me? How come you couldn't have just hugged me and said you were proud of me? He said, and then one of the workers at the cemetery said, you know, we're going to have to decide what you're going to put on his tombstone. H.B. said he stood there. He said, I can't put, he was a good father. He said, I can't even put he was a good husband, because he wasn't. And out of all the pastors that was in this room, he said, the only thing I could come up with was he was a good preacher. And then he looked at every one of us. He said, may God help you that at the end of your life, no one in your family has to put on that stone. He was a good preacher. Love your wife more than anybody else. Love your kids. Be there for them. Hug them. Tell them how special they are. Tell them how thankful you are that God gave them to you. And then let your ministry come in under that. God says, keep your priorities straight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to thank you all for being so kind and so attentive. You all have been so great to me this morning, and my heart is overwhelmed. What a special day this is. But I believe in the midst of homecoming and the celebrations and the games and everything else, that God's still speaking to people this morning. God wants to speak something to you today. You may feel like, you know, I just haven't heard from him in a while. I have a gut feeling that he's been speaking. We just haven't been listening. This morning, you're here, every head bowed and every eye closed. And you just say, Brad, I'd really like to hear the voice of God this morning. I'd really like to hear God confirm something in my life. I believe he wants to do that today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, more than anything else, you want to hear God's voice. You want to take the time to let God speak to you. I can tell you the only tip I can give you before you leave this place is listen to God. 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 If you're here this morning and that's you, you want to hear God's voice, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning all across this room. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, God, there are so many here this morning who are just humbly waiting before you saying, God, please speak to me. God, speak into my life. I want to tune my ears to hear what you're saying. And God, I don't just want to hear what you're saying. I want to act on it. I want to be obedient. I want to follow through. I want to have the courage to receive your word and then act obediently on it. Lord, for each person that raised their hand this morning, would you speak to them crystal clear today? Let them hear you in a way they've never heard or experienced you before. In the strong, mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. If you want to hear God's voice, you desire just to receive something from him, as we sing this morning, would you just come and seek the Lord at this altar and wait before him? Sing it with me now.
I am waiting on you. Bye.
and faculty continue to pray here around the altar. I want you students who are in your seats to collapse toward the middle and toward our alumni who are sitting in these center rows. If you can work your way through some chairs, do that, through some seats. If you can't, just stand in the aisle and reach out toward them. We want to bless our alumni guests before they have to leave, some of them this afternoon, some of them tomorrow. Love on them. Would you do that? Just what you've been taught. You don't even know them, but these are great people. If we could tell you the individual stories of some of our alumni guests, you'd be amazed. Just reach out to them. And for you at the altar, just keep seeking. Just keep seeking. God will speak to you. Sing it one more time as you just begin to pray. Sing it a little quieter, but just begin to move, students, and reach out your hand to pray for people who are in this center section. We just pray for you. We pray for the Rosenbergs here on the front row and for the alumni board and then for all of our friends who've gathered. We've been instructed of the Lord this morning to love one another. Thank you, Lord. We're waiting on you, Lord, to reveal your divine love toward our alumni guests today. Thank you for lifting those who lost a loved one during this last year. Thank you for touching those who have been diagnosed with sicknesses over these last few months. Thank you for those who have needs that are unmentionable this morning. We can't take the time, but you know, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the miles that they have traveled and the way they've extended themselves to help others for years upon years. Thank you, oh God. What Brad's taught us this morning, Lord, is to love one another, hear the voice of God, extend the hand of care. Some alumni lunches that some of you need to get to, and we'll let you go momentarily. What a wonderful time we've had, and what a wonderful time we're going to have tonight. There's parking over in front of the Forest Arnold Activity Center. There's also parking in the Welch parking lot behind Welch, behind the cafeteria. And there's parking down below behind Horton. And behind the gym, you can find a parking place tonight. If you need help getting into the gym, just let us know. Let our security know. We'll just make every effort to help in any way we can. We look forward to seeing you there. These shirts, and I'll be wearing mine tonight, the CBC shirts. We have some more of them. I don't know where they are, but I think we have a few more that we could sell if we need to. If nothing else. Mark, where are they? Do you know? I don't know where they are. The alumni office. Thank you. I heard that. Word from the Lord from up above. The alumni office over in Evans, we'd be glad. Back here. We'd be glad to share some with you right back through these doors. And you can purchase one. May God bless you and give you grace. Love one another. Continue praying. Our worship team will continue singing. And we'll move on to our activities. God bless you.